Well, Susan, thanks for being here.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, tell us how Proud to Be came to be.
Well, it started with writing workshops that were being done in conjunction with the Missouri Writers Guild and a group called Warrior Arts Alliance. They were doing writing workshops in veterans hospitals. They worked in Jefferson Barrack. And this wonderful writing was coming out of it, and kind of surprising topics. And they decided, well, we need to expand this. At that point, the leader of Warrior Arts Alliance, Deb Marshall, started talking with Jeff Gigliarano, who is the executive director of Missouri Humanities Council. And he said they would be very interested in funding a veterans project. So they decided to put out a call for submissions and make this an anthology. To do the anthology, they wanted to run a contest so more people would be interested. And they got some stellar judges who judged each genre. We had Brian Turner, who is actually a soldier poet. He got his MA in English and then went to serve in Iraq. He judged the poetry. His book is called Hear Bullet, and it's a stunning book. For nonfiction, we had William Trent Pancoast, who wrote the book Wildcat. And then he was fiction. And then for nonfiction, we had Mark Bowden, who wrote the book Black Hawk Down, and that was later made into a movie. He has another book out now, too. So stellar judges really attracted a lot of writers. And I'm not sure if you know this about veteran writers, but they don't often write down what they experienced or what they felt about it. So we were a little concerned. Is this going to be something that the veterans are interested in doing, or are we just going to get a few submissions? We were flooded with submissions. And these are nitty-gritty, here's-what-happened stories of what it's like to serve in contemporary war, especially one of the things they kept talking about was how different this war is, because you don't know who the enemy is. In any particular village, you're not sure who's shooting at you. In any particular town, you're not sure who the enemy is and who are the villagers.
Now, there are stories here from veterans across the nation, and I'm curious, do we have some from our local area?
Yes, we do. We have some wonderful writers. Levi Bollinger is a high school teacher at Oak Ridge. He's getting his master's in English here, and he served in the Army Reserve in Baghdad Airport for a year. He's a wonderful poet. We also had Aaron Horrell, who is the owner-manager of the Painted Wren Art Gallery downtown. He contributed poetry. And then another of my former students, Nick Watts, who just got out of Afghanistan November 19th, had sent us a poem that was included. And because he was back stateside at that time, he came to our reading in St. Louis at Focal Point. So it was wonderful to see him again. Terrific to have his poetry included. And great to have him read it in front of everybody.
Any themes that sort of were in several of the writings that sort of rose to the top when you were doing the editing for the anthology?
There were many themes, and because, as you know, this goes from a letter, a World War I letter was our World War I piece. We had a couple of pieces from World War II, a lot from Vietnam veterans, and then from Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. And some of the themes, one of the most poignant, I think, was the breakup of relationships caused by serving overseas for any amount of time. It happened again and again. And it's not just because the relationship didn't last, but sometimes, and most often, the person who came back from overseas wasn't the same, was not the same person, and the adjustment was too hard to make. Other themes were the difference, as I mentioned, in the type of warfare. A theme that was through every piece was the horror and shock of war, especially seeing comrades killed or wounded. And another theme that happened mainly from Vietnam on was kind of the lack of services for veterans when they came back. As you know, Vietnam The veterans came back to a pretty harsh homecoming. And those Vietnam veterans who wrote for the book often mentioned that they've never really gotten over that, because not only were they scarred by warfare, but when they came home to either a cold shoulder or a harsh reception, then that made it even harder on them to integrate back into society.
Something that just occurred to me that I want to ask you. You know, a lot of times we hear that veterans don't want to talk about experiences. You mentioned that earlier. Do you think that this gave some of them a chance, maybe things they couldn't talk about, they could put pen to paper and express those things in a way they couldn't any other way, maybe?
Oh, 100%. I think that writing is often seen, and as is art, as therapy. And while I don't want to say that this was therapy writing, this was getting a story out. Also, the veterans have said time and time again, they want people to understand what it is that they went through. They're not feeling sorry for themselves. They're not regretting having gone. They're saying, we're very proud to serve our country, which is admirable. But they are saying, people don't have a clue. We come back to the States and it's such a culture shock, and people don't want to hear about it, don't want to talk about it. They don't really understand what it was like being on guard every minute. In fact, Nick Watts said something to me after the St. Louis reading. I said, well, you know, it's kind of culture shock coming back, isn't it? And he said, yeah, nobody here is shooting at me. He was in St. Louis, too.
What struck you most while you were editing for this anthology?
The quality of the writing really surprised me. I shouldn't say that. That makes me sound so awful, such an elitist. But I thought there would be more editing to do. Most of the people were extremely careful with their writing. Many, many of these veterans are in writing programs now, MFAs or MA programs, which was kind of surprising, too. And others of them have been writing, even if it's nonfiction writing for a military journal. They have been keeping up with their writing. They're very articulate people, and they manage to convey their feelings without making it sound maudlin or over-nostalgic. There was not glorification except in, you know, the idea of serving one's country and doing what one felt was duty.
This is the first, I understand, in an annual series. Tell us more about future plans and what you're going to do.
We're just getting started. As of now, there's a partnership between Southeast Missouri State University Press, the Missouri Humanities Council, and Warrior Arts Alliance. We're going to keep producing the anthology on an annual basis. We already have our call for submissions out. So if anyone is interested in that, please contact me at the University Press. We're also in talks with American Legion about funding a full-length book collection of military literature. And this would be written by contemporary authors. Much of it would be fiction, poetry, or essays, just like our contests are. But there is a huge interest growing in military literature, not just the history books, but the real-life experiences and the memoirs.
Susan Swartout is the publisher at the Southeast Missouri State University Press, and she edited Proud to Be, Writing by American Warriors. Thank you for being here, Susan.
Thanks so much, Dan.